الحمد لله الذي فضل سيدنا ومولانا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم على العالمين جميعا وأقامه يوم القيامة للمذنبين المتلوثين الخطائين الهالكين شفيعا فصلى الله تعالى وسلم عليه وعلى كل من هو محبوب ومرضي لديه صلاة تبقى وتدوم بدوام الملك الحي القيوم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله بالهدى ودين الحق أرسله عليه أفضل الصلاة وأكمل التسليم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أولئك كتب في قلوبهم الإيمان وأيدهم بروح منه صدق الله العلي العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمين الكريم. Respected audience, the religion of Islam is the religion of nature. It is the natural religion. إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. And the way of nature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His messengers and His prophets amongst the people to guide them onto the straight path, to bring them towards the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever a prophet or a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left the world and people began to move away from the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent another prophet or another messenger. Until the greatest of all, the best of all creation, the Savior of mankind, Sayyidina Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came as the final prophet, the Khatamun Nabiyyin. There was no prophet after him. After he would leave this world, when people again would move away from the religion, when the religion Islam would face trials and tribulations, then who would bring the people back to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In Abu Dawud Sharif, and as Shaykh Khalid mentioned before, from Bayhaqi, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْعَثُ عَلَىٰ رَأْسِ كُلِّ مِئَةِ سَنَةٍ مَنْ يُجَدِّدْ لَهَا دِينَهَا. That verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send at the head of every century one who will revive his religion. And therefore, when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world and the people began to face trials and tribulations, people began to move away from the religion of Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a revival to the world. Like this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a revival in the subcontinent known as Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In the Urdu language, the word Raza, and in the Arabic language, the word Rida. And that's why you might hear some people say Sheikh Ahmed Rida, some people say Sheikh Ahmed Rida. They're both correct.
How much time do I have?
Imam Ahmed Rida was born in 1272 Hijri. At the age of 4, Imam Ahmad Reza radiallahu ta'ala has recited the whole Quran at the age of 4. And our children, at the age of 4 and a half or 5, they begin to read Alif Ba Ta Ta. Imam Ahmad Reza radiallahu ta'ala had finished the recitation of the Quran at the age of 4. When he began to recite Alif Ba Ta to his teacher, his grandfather was present, Allama Raza Ali Khan alayhi rahmah. He was present for his Bismillah Ali, the first time he began to learn the language of Islam. While the teacher was saying to him, repeat after me, Alif Ba'dani came to Ba'dani at the end, Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala did not reply. He didn't repeat what he said. He told him again to repeat, again, until his grandfather had to say, that, oh my grandson, why aren't you repeating? He replied that I've already recited Lam, and I've already recited Alif. Why has this come back again? We are at the moment reciting the Huruf al-Mufrada, the single letters. This isn't a single letter, this is Murakkab. This is a compound. At that age, when he's learning Alif Baba, Imam Ahmad radiallahu ta'ala, his consciousness, his eagerness to try and gain knowledge, trying to understand, was so great. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed him with this quality. His grandfather explained to him the reason why the Alif has been mentioned again. And for your knowledge, the Alif at the beginning is actually a Hamza. Alif is always sakin, and Alif cannot be recited on its own as a mufrad. It has to be recited as a compound. And therefore, Lam Alif has been mentioned at the end so that a person can understand the pronunciation of Alif. La. The Alif is always sakin, and it cannot be recited without another letter before it. Whenever Alif has a Fatha Dhamma, Fatha, any Harakah becomes a Hamza. Now Imam Ahmad radiallahu ta'ala, upon the answer, asked his grandfather that, okay, I understand that, but before Alif, why was the Lam brought? Why not Ba? Why not Ta? Why not Ta? Why did the Lam come before the Alif here? Why Lam Alif? Why not Ba Alif? He would have done the same job. Why is that? His grandfather again gave him an answer. That because Lam and Alif make a word, and Lam and Alif have a very good connection between them. When you write Lam, in letters Lam, Alif and Me makes Lam. The half of Lam is Alif, in the middle. And the half of Alif, Lam and Fa, is Lam. They are both the half of each other, that is why Lam Alif is mentioned here. But at this age, Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala was so conscious about what he read and what he understood, and he was so eager to gain as much as he could. Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala learned by his father, he gained 21 different sciences of knowledge. He learned in the tafsir, in the hadith, in the fiqh, and many, many other philosophy, astrology, and whatnot did he learn from his father. He also had another teacher called Ghulam Abdul Qadir Daik. Mirza Abdul Qadir Daik. He was one of his teachers. He only had a very few amount of teachers, about 4 or 5 teachers Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala had. However, later in his life, he wrote books on 50 different sciences. And when he was asked, he said himself that I learned 21 sciences from my father, the rest of them, about 39, according to one narration, or 38, he said I learned myself. He learned himself. He used to study in his own room, he used to read the books himself, and he used to learn, and he used to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me this insight, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps me gain this knowledge. And one of the students that studied with Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, and I can't remember his name, but he says that I used to study with Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, and however, his insight was so much that he would only study a few pages with his teacher. After that, he would learn the lessons himself, and he would come and say them to his teacher. He would come and read his lesson to his teacher. And once he was reading Musallam al-Thubut. Musallam al-Thubut in Hanafi fiqh is a very, very hard book. According to many, many institutes in the subcontinent, they are only taught in the Darul Iftah course, in the course of Tahqeeq, when a person has become an alumni and wishes to study further Islamic studies, only they study this book. But in some institutes they do teach it. Musallam al-Thubut, Imam Ahmad Raza was reading this on his own, He was learning a new lesson himself when he came up. He saw a footnote written by his father. He saw a footnote written by his father which showed a complication. Something that his father did not understand. When Imam Ahmad radiallahu anhu saw that, he was at that time learning by his own father. He was a student of his own father, he was reading this book by his father. But he would go away and learn a new lesson himself and then come and read it to his father. He saw this footnote and he wrote under the footnote, he wrote and covered the whole page, all the space that was left, he covered it all. And he explained that there is no complication here. And he removed the complication, the problem that his father had faced. When he sat in front of his father to read, his father saw the footnote. And he said, let me have a look at your book. He looked at the book and he read the footnotes that Imam Ahmad radiallahu anhu had put. After reading them, he said that, O my dear son, you are a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You do not come here to learn by me, you come here to teach me. That is what the teacher of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala believed. Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala at the age of 13 had become a complete mufti. He wrote his first fatwa at the age of 13. Then Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala continued to write fatwa under his father. And he writes himself that a person cannot become a mufti until he spends years and years under a complete mufti writing fatwa and showing him his fatwa. And Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala continued writing fatwa under his father. In the subcontinent, Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala had seen many, many trials and tribulations amongst the Muslims. That is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala in the subcontinent. Before I speak of what Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala actually revived, Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala in character would follow every sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, one of his students was once asked, this is mentioned in Hayat al-Hazr, was once asked by an Arab scholar, describe the characteristics of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala to me. And Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala's characteristics, subhanAllah. The student of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala gave the same reply that Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala had gave when a person asked the characteristics of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, قَالَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. He said, the characteristics of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala are the Qur'an. He used to live by the Qur'an, he used to act upon the Qur'an. He used to follow every sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is the way that we should also live our lives. Imam Bukhari mentioned the hadith that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, اِئْتَمُّوا بِي لِكَيْ يَأْتَمَّ بِكُمْ مَنْ بَعْتَكُمْ. And as the Sahih Brothers are talking about nisbah, we should have nisbah with our shuyukh. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that follow me so that the people who come after you follow you. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say that follow me so that the people who come after you follow me as well. No. Follow me so that the people who come after you, they follow you. And then the people who come after them, they follow them. In that way, people follow each other until today. We should follow our shuyukh. We should follow our ulama-kiram. That is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba al-Kiram would look at every action of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they tried to copy everything that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. For example, a hadith which is mentioned in all the Sahihah, where a Sahabi was asked by a Tabi'i that did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recite the Quran in Salatul Asr? The Sahabi replied, yes, he did. The Tabi'i replied, how do you know that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited the Quran in Salatul Asr? Because it isn't jahri, it isn't loud. How did you know? The Sahabi replied, بِالْتِرَابِ الْحِيَةِ. We know because of the movement of the blessed beard of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They used to look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he used to perform salah, and they used to look at every action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's how they used to learn the Sharia. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala said that when we used to come and perform salah in congregation with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I would always try and sit on the right hand side of the cell. When he was asked why, he said, because every time the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam completed his prayer, he would turn towards the right. And when he turned towards the right, I would not want to miss seeing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I would not want to miss the way he smiles, the way he raises his hands in prayer. I would not want to miss any action of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I asked my Sheikh regarding wearing red clothes for men. Sheikh Muhaddith al-Kabir, he is the son of Sadr al-Sharia alayhi rahma, student of Mufti Azam al-Hind alayhi rahma, and also a Khalifa of Mufti Azam al-Hind alayhi rahma, the son of Imam Ahmad al-Allah. I asked him regarding red clothing, and he said to me that I asked the very same question to Mufti Azam al-Hind alayhi rahma. And Mufti Azam al-Hind alayhi rahma says to me as an answer that yes, it is permissible to wear specific clothes in red, but not complete red clothing. And he says the reason why I say this is because I saw that Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala was one sitting in Darul Ifta and he had a red sadri, a red waistcoat on. Mufti Azam Hind alayhi rahma, the greatest Mufti of the subcontinent in his time, he bases his Sharia upon what Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala wore. Because he knew that if it was not permissible, even if it was makruh, this last, then Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala would not have worn it. And from that, Mufti Azam Hind alayhi rahma deduced the ruling that to wear a red waistcoat, because women don't wear waistcoats. Okay, and there's no tashabbuh bin nisa, there's no similarity, resemblance to women in that, because women do not wear waistcoats. In the same way, if a person wears an imama, so he is not restricted to any color. He can wear red, pink, etc. Any color, because women do not wear imama shari. And therefore the resemblance in color with women, which is prohibited, is not coming from the color of the imama and the waistcoat. Anyhow, Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala was so strict upon following the Sharia. Two students in Hayat al-Ahzal, there's an incident regarding two students from Darul Ulum Deir, who came to Bareilly Sharif because Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala had passed the fatwa of Kufra against a few of their scholars. Then two students came to see who this Imam is. Who is this Imam who wrote a fatwa against our teachers and the teachers of our teachers? When they came, Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala was preparing himself for salah, and he was performing wudu in a hall, in a pool. They were directed to Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, and they came and they saw Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala performing wudu, and they quietly on the side just watched and observed the way Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala performed wudu. After Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala performed wudu, he stood up to walk towards the masjid, and these two came and kissed his hand, and they repented to him, and they confessed that we came to argue and fight with you, but we have just seen you performing ablution, and our eyes have opened that if you are so cautious in making sure you follow every sunnah of the Prophet in wudu, in ablution, then how cautious must you be in passing the fatwa of kufr against anybody? And Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, in his time, in the subcontinent, there were people who were saying that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's knowledge of the unseen was the same as man and animals. There were people who were saying that to say Ya Rasulullah don't be a mushrik. There were people who were saying that to go to the shrine and recite Fatiha, shirk and bidah. There were people who were saying that to say salam upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is shirk and bidah. Up to the extent that in the Jami Masjid of Delhi, the Jami Masjid of Delhi, The Quran was held in one hand, and the Ved of the Hindus was held in one hand, and at the front was standing Gandhi, and everybody was saying and proclaiming a nara, a proclamation that Islam and Ved, the Quran and the Ved is one. Allah and my one is one father. This was what was happening in the subcontinent at that time. People had absolutely brand new beliefs that Islam had never heard before. People believed that you have to stand in respect in the moment for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes you a mushrik. People believed that to face Madinatul Munawwarah and send your salam to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is shirk. People were believing that to say that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is alive and is great is shirk. People were saying that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has died and his body ma'adallah has corroded in soul. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was attacked from every angle in them days. And that is when Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala picked up his pen. And Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala picked up his pen, and in them days, at the same time, people were believing that Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani is a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani at that very time was swearing that Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At that very time, the Shia were at their peak. All the different sects were at their peak. And Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala picked up his pen. And he fought against all the sects, all the unbelief, and he never left anybody out. And what Sayyid al-Fajr, Allama Nayyuti Murana Raja Rehman, the teacher of me, Karam Shah Rehman, he came to Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, and he was a student. He said that, oh my Imam, when you write against these people, when you write against these people, you use harsh words. The words you use are very, very severe and harsh upon the people. If you begin to use more lenient language, and more calm language, and if you come with a more calmer approach, then maybe more people will read your work. More people will come to guidance. Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, on hearing this from the student, he became furious. And he said, oh my student, you're telling me to be lenient, whereas I am thinking to myself that what should happen is that I should have a sword in my hand. I should have a sword in my hand at the neck of these people who are disrespecting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and trying to destroy Islam. And I, with my sword, would put their heads off. That's what should happen. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not made jihad fardh upon us at this time. The conditions of jihad are not fulfilled at this time, and therefore it is fardh upon me to use my pen as a sword. And that is when he says, کہ وہ رضا کے نیزے کی مار ہے وہ رضا کے نیزے کی مار ہے کہ ادو کے تینے میں بھار ہے کسے سارا دوری کا بار ہے کہ یہ لال بار سے پار ہے اور کل کے رضا ہے خنجر خوخار برق بار کل کے رضا ہے خنجر خوخار برق بار حاضر کے کہہ جو خیر بنائے نشر کرے امام احمد رضا اس کے طور پر سے that my hand is like a sword. My hand is the work of a sword. A sword which will rip and make people bleed. That is what my head does. And therefore I warn the people that don't do that, don't do evil. Do good, my sword will not rise against you. If you do good, then I will not rise against you. But if you will attack the respect and the honor of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then verily the pen of Imam Ahmad will rise against you. And what? When Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala received a letter full of swears against him, when one of his students read this letter, he said, that, oh Imam, allow me to reply, allow me to answer this. Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala replied, that I would not ever want to reply to these people and swear back at them, for I am grateful that they are swearing at me, at least for that much amount of time that it took them to write this against me, they did not swear at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he said, come with me. And he took him to a cupboard, which he opened, and he pulled out many, many letters. Many lessons that people have said in praise of Shaykh Ahmad Radiallahu Anhu. He says that first, send these people gifts. These people who are creating these lessons, first send them gifts. If you want to reply to this person swearing at me, first send these people gifts. That was the way of Imam Ahmad Radiallahu Anhu. Imam Ahmad Radiallahu Anhu was so generous. Remember, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the most generous of all. He was the most generous. And when the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would have any money or anything of wealth with him, there's a narration in Muslim Sharif that once the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam finished Salah and straight away stood up and went to his house, into his room. He went into his room and he came back with a few dinars. He said, "Stand right, before I perform Salah, I thought to myself that I have a few dinars left in my room. I should distribute that to some poor person, because some poor person will need it." As soon as he finished Salah, he could not remain for any longer, and he went and got them, and then he distributed them to the poor. Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala was also very, very generous. People used to write questions to him. Not only that, people used to write to him asking for money. People used to write to him that I have a daughter and I have to marry her and I am poor, I don't have money to marry her. Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala would send money to them people. Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala answered every question that came to him. Not only that, Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala answered every beggar who came to him and asked for wealth. Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala never used to say no. And talking about this stuff, I won't take much time. I've cut most of my speech. I've just cut it off. I won't take a lot of your time. Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala had the nisbah of Huzur Sayyidina Mawlana Adam radiallahu ta'ala. And now, Qibla Sayyidina Adam radiallahu ta'ala talking about nisbah of the Salihin, an incident came to my mind. Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala once was in the masjid. And this incident was narrated to me by Sheikh Abdul Hadi from South Africa. I went to see him. He had lived with Sayyidina Mufti Azam Ehindaray Rama for over 9 years. He narrates from Mufti Azam Ehindaray Rama. Mufti Azam Ehindaray Rama said that I was a child. And while I was a child, my father, Sheikh Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, had once gone to perform Salah in the masjid. And in Bareilly Sharif, in Mahalla Sadagara, where Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala lived, there was always a mazzoob. A mazzoob has always lived there. And Mufti Azam Ehindaray Rama says that at that time, the mazzoob was Dhokesha. Dhokesha. Sabko dhoka dete the. Dhokesha was the name of a mazzoob. A mazzoob is someone who is lost in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is lost in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a person who is lost in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his mind is not present. Okay, he is not obliged to the Sharia. The Sharia, he does not have to follow the Sharia because he's not conscious. He's a mad person. He's madly in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, one of his statements in Malfuzat is mazzoob se nuqsan zyada fayda kam hota hai. Person should stay away from a mazzoob because there's more loss than gain from a mazzoob. Because if they say something, it happens. Okay, if they say something, it happens. Dhokesha was a person, a mazzoob. If somebody asked him for prayer, then whatever he'd say, the opposite would happen. अगर कोई कहता कि दुआ कर दीजिए इम्तिहान में कामयाब हो जाओ तो जवाब देते कि जाओ उनसे हो जाओ तो वो पास हो जाता That's why he was known as Dhokesha. तो वह मुफ्ती आज़म अहमद ले रहा था जब आला हज़रत इमाम अहमद रज़ा रज़ियल्लाहु ताला अन्हु इन द मस्जिद एंड आफ्टर सला Dhokesha stood up in the masjid amongst the people and he shouted. And this time it wasn't a dhoka, he was speaking seriously, he wouldn't always say the opposite. He said that I hear the prayers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the earth, the humans and the Muslims, verily they do pray the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, However, in the skies and in the heavens, no one serves the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a mazlum, a mad person. Nobody fights and argues with a mad person. But Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala. Kya dabe jis pe himayat ka hukm jaate raha. He was a servant of Huzur Ghaut-e Azam radiallahu ta'ala. Kya dabe jis pe himayat ka hukm jaate raha. شیر کو خطرے میں نہیں لاتا کتا تیرا حضور غوث اعظم رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ was such a great شیخ and ولی of Allah, the greatest ولی that has ever walked this earth. A dog which walked on the doorstep of شیخ غوث اعظم رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ شیخ عبد القادر جیلانی رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ was attacked a lion and killed the lion. That is the dog that walked on the doorstep of شیخ Abdul Qadir Jilani رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ. اور حضور امام احمد رضا رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ servant of حضور ذات عظم رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ. Would he feel pressurized? Would he feel scared when somebody attacks the honor of the Prophet Muhammad صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, whether that person be a madman or whether that person be a mazlum? Imam احمد رضا رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ cannot remain quiet. Imam احمد رضا رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ stood up and he spoke loudly and clearly for 2 hours. Imam Ahmad Raza رضی اللہ تعالیٰ stood there and he spoke and he gave evidence after evidence after evidence from the Quran and Hadith that the Prophet Muhammad صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم is praised everywhere, not only on the earth but also in the skies and in the heavens. Don't get shy out of way. He ran away never to be seen until 4 months. At that time, Huzur Mufti Azam Ahindan Irama says that I was on the roof of my house throwing stones on monkeys in the garden. Because the monkeys, because our clothing was from the land which was for drying the clothes. He says I was throwing stones on the monkeys because the monkeys would take the clothing, they'd rip the clothing. And I was only throwing the stones so that they stay away from the clothing. And this was permissible. Okay, whatever Mufti Azam Ahindan Irama did, and whatever Allah Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, and many of our scholars, they were only follow the Sharia. They were protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anyhow, he says, I was throwing stones onto these monkeys. And at that time, when Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala spoke against the mazlum, something happened to me. I fell down from the roof onto the ground, onto the floor. And I fainted. The mother of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala heard the loud bang and she came running out and she saw Mufti Azam Ahindan Irama. His name was Mustafa Raza. Picked him up and took him inside. And she was also a waliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She knew that it had happened. She knew that this happened because Imam Ahmad Raza is there speaking against mazlum. Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala returned home. When he returned home, Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala's mother came with Mustafa Raza in her arms. And she said, O Ahmad Raza, mazlum se bhi behas ki jaati hai. Mazlum se bhi behas ki jaati hai. Do people argue with a mazlum? Do people argue with mad people? So Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala replied, she said, look what happened to Mustafa Raza. Dekho Mustafa Raza ko kya hua. مزدور سے لڑائی کی جاتی ہے, جھگڑا کیا جاتا ہے. تو امام احمد رضا رضی اللہ تعالیٰ نے کہا کہ رسول اکرم رضائے مصطفیٰ کے لیے, ہی ریپلائی کہ رضائے مصطفیٰ کے لیے لاکھوں مصطفیٰ رضا قربان کر سکتا ہوں. رضائے مصطفیٰ کے لیے لاکھوں مصطفیٰ رضا قربان کر سکتا ہوں, لیکن زبان احمد رضا رک نہیں سکتی. اینڈ ہی اسپوک آفٹر 4 months. دھوکے شاہ ریٹرنڈ. Dhoke Shah returned and Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala was going to the masjid event. And he saw Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala and he came and he kissed the hand of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala and he said, forgive me, forgive me. Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala said, for what? He said, I was taken, we are the followers of the Sufiya Ikram. Theek hai? Hum log to ishq wale hain. He said that I was taken into the court of Khaja Darindawaz radiallahu ta'ala. And in the court of Hajar Harib Nawaz radiallahu ta'ala, a court case happened regarding my statement and your answer. And you won. And therefore I ask you for forgiveness. At that time, he said that verily, the prayer of the Prophet Muhammad doesn't only happen on the earth, but it also happens in the heavens. And at that time, Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala said the couplet, ki arsh pe taaza chher chhaar, farsh pe tarfa dhoom dhaar, kaan jidhar lagai, ye teri hi daastan hai. Allama Muhaddith Suyuti alayhi rahmah, Shaykh Muhaddith Suyuti alayhi rahmah was such a great Muhaddith that he used to say that if it was permissible to recite hadith in salah, then I would recite Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif, Tirmidhi Sharif, all the Sahih Sitta in Tarawih Salah. He was a hafiz of all of them. He said he would always, in his lesson with his students, he would always mention Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala. All the time, Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala says this, he says this, he says this. One of his students once asked him, ki ya Shaykh, why is it that you are better with Shaykh Abdul Rahman, Badayuni alayhi rahmah, Murad Abadi alayhi rahmah, but you are always mentioning Imam Ahmad Raza? Your Shaykh is from Murad Abad, but you are always mentioning Imam Ahmad Raza. So he replied that through my Shaykh, I gave my hand all the way into the hand of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that would only be beneficial if my Iman would be protected. And my Iman is protected because Imam Ahmad radiallahu ta'ala is protected. He is the one who has given us Ishq-e Mustafa, and Ishq-e Mustafa is Iman. Allah ki sardar qadam shan hai ye, insaan nahi insaan, woh insaan hai ye, Quran to Iman batata hai ye, Iman ye kehta hai, meri jaan hai. That is what Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala taught us. He taught us that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is Iman. He revived the religion of Islam in the subcontinent. And through that he was known as the Mujaddid. But how did he become Mujaddid-e-Azam? He became the Mujaddid-e-Azam, and Mujaddid-e-Azam because he revived Islam not only in the subcontinent but in the whole world. How? When Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, I'll just mention the reason why he is known as the Mujaddid-e-Azam and then I'll finish. He traveled to Hajj for the second time. Okay, when he traveled to Hajj for the second time, Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala said, ki iske upar Hajj bhi Khuda ne kara diye, asli murad hazri us paak dar ki hai. Iske upar Hajj bhi Khuda ne kara diye, asli murad hazri us paak dar ki hai. Regarding the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, holy shrine. That because of the shrine of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of that, that was my main intention. And through that I did Hajj as well. When we go to perform Hajj. We go with the intention that I am going to perform Hajj. And then, alhamdulillah, after Hajj we can also go to the city of love, Madinah Munawwara. But Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala had already performed his Hajj once before. Second time he went, he clearly said, ki Kaaba ka naam tak na liya, Kaaba hi kaha, poochha tha jisne humse, na mujhse, ki muhzat kidhar ki hai. When anybody asked me, where are you going? Where have you stood up to go to? I never said Kaaba, I only said Kaaba. Because my main intention was to go to see the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He went to see the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he had no intention, when he left Bareilly Sharif, he had no intention to go to Harbin Sharif. But when he went to drop his salah, he decided to go as well. And why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already written his destiny for him. And he was pulled, destiny was pulling Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala towards Haram Sharif, Makkah al-Mukarramah. He reached Makkah al-Mukarramah, he performed Hajj. After performing Hajj, he took his son, Allama Hamid al-Zafari Rahman, Allama Hujjat al-Islam, to the library of Makkah al-Mukarramah. In the library of Makkah al-Mukarramah, the librarian, Sheikh Sayyid Ismail, alayhi rahmah, He already knew Imam Ahmad Raza Radulna, but not back then. He didn't know Allah Hazrat back then, but he knew back then. How? Because Imam Ahmad Raza Radulna wrote 28 questions regarding Nadwa. Nadwa was an organization made to unite all the different sects of Islam together. And Imam Ahmad Raza Radulna clearly explain to the people that wrong and false can never unite with the truth and the correct. They can't unite together. The truth can unite with the truth, but the truth can never unite with the false. In the same way as Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala in the Battle of the Maidan of Karbala was with 72 or 82 people, some of them were women, children. He stood on one side and an army, according to one narration, of 24,000 people on the other side. Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala did not unite with them. Because Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala showed that the truth is what I am upon, what you are upon is false. Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala had his alarm given separately, he had his iqamah given separately, he performed his salah separately. You can check in the books of history. Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti mentions in Kitab, what's the name of the book? Tariq al-Khulafa. And many of our ulama mentioned it. Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala showed that unity is to stand on the truth and unite people on that truth, not to join with the others, not to join with the false, not to join with the correct. That is what Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala taught. And today, a very, very big trial and tribulation amongst us is unity. Unity is amongst us. The ulama of Ahlul Sunnah will unite together. The masajid of Ahlul Sunnah, we should unite together. That was the mission of Imam Ahmad Raza Radiallahu Ta'ala, to unite everybody upon the truth. That is what Imam Ahmad Raza Radiallahu Ta'ala wished for. And today, people hold unity conferences where scholars of different sects sit together. Okay? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave clear instructions. La tujalisuhum. Do not sit with them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَإِيَّاكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ. You keep yourselves away from them and them away from you. In the same way as you want to stay away from an alcoholic so that you don't become an alcoholic, you should stay away from someone with incorrect beliefs so that you don't become them. As I was talking about nisbah, when you walk into the shop of an attar, a perfume seller, you will have this smell on your clothes, even if you don't buy anything. Because sahba has an effect, company has an effect. And therefore the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the kulu wa asfadihi, stay with the truthful people. Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala showed us that. The people today say that we should all unite together, all of us sects, we're all Muslim, we all say the same kalima, we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa'atatuhu bihadillahi jami'a, hold firmly onto the role of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what they say. But our answer to that is we are holding the role of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is upon you all to leave one of the ropes you are holding and come and hold the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rope that Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala held. Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala held firmly onto the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when the Yazidis told him to come and join him, give his hand into his hand, Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala didn't agree with it, and he showed that Allah said firmly, which means both your hands on the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can't give another hand on another rope. That is what Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala chose. And that is what Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal radiallahu ta'ala chose. That people said to say that the Quran is a makhluk of Allah. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal said no. The Quran is not a makhluk of Allah, it is a sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was whipped, he was lashed. They were lashing him and saying, say that the Quran is a makhluk of Allah. He said no. He held firmly onto the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the very rope that Imam Ahmad radiallahu ta'ala held onto. And he showed to the people that this is the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Come and hold this rope. And today all people who invite us to their unity conferences, I invite them. I invite them to come and seize all the ropes that they are holding and come and hold firmly onto the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the very rope that the lovers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. The very rope that Imam Ahmad Ghazali sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. The very rope that Shaykh Yusuf al Darhani alayhi wa sallam had. The very rope that Huzur Bayi Nasir sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. Khaja Tariq Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. And all of our predecessors had. That is the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ahmad Ghazali sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught this lesson of unity. And Imam Ahmad Ghazali spent all of his life doing this. And remember, when Imam Ahmad Ghazali sallallahu alayhi wa sallam raised 28 questions regarding Zadla, he answered them himself. He answered them himself. He answered 28 questions regarding unity, and then he sent them with people who were going to do Hajj, people who were going to do Umrah, to Medina al-Munawwara and Makkah al-Mukarramah. From there they decided with many answers. And one of the persons who wrote the most was the Hafiz al-Kutub al-Haram, the librarian of Haram Sharif, of Makkah al-Mukarramah. He, Shaykh Ismail, knew Imam Ahmad Ghazali through the answers of them questions. And he had much work for him, and he wanted, had the desire to see Imam Ahmad Ghazali. When he saw Imam Ahmad Ghazali the first time, he didn't know. He didn't know that this is Imam Ahmad Ghazali. Allah had asked for a few books. Shaykh Ismail took out the books and he gave them to him. He was a Sayyid. He was a Shakari. He took out the books and he gave them to Imam Ahmad Ghazali. Imam Ahmad Ghazali was reading these books. At that time, Qutbul Islam, Allah Ahmad Ghazali, Ahmad Ghazali, Imam Ahmad Ghazali, and he was conversing with the librarian. The librarian didn't know him as well. At that time, a person came and asked a question regarding the Hanafi fiqh. He said, what is the hukum of doing runaway jama'ah, throwing the stones on the pillars of shaitan before the one, before his day? He replied, that it is according to one statement of a Hanafi fiqh, it is permissible. Imam Ahmad Ghazali raised his voice whilst he was reading other books. He said, it is khilaf al-madhhab. Shaykh Ismail, the librarian, looked at him and he thought, I am the librarian, I know these books more than anybody else. He was raising his voice over me. He said the name of a book and he said, in that book he says, alayhi fatwa. The Imam Ahmad Ghazali said, no. In that book, it doesn't say alayhi fatwa, it says it is one of the statements. It is one of the statements. Qawlu. Or he said it's qila. It's not alayhi fatwa. He furiously went and got the book, took it out and opened it, and he looked for it and he found it, and it was exactly as Imam Ahmad Ghazali said. But one night he asked Allama Hujjat al-Islam, who is this person? Allama Hujjat al-Islam said that this is Shaykh Ahmad Rida from India. Upon hearing that, he rushed towards Imam Ahmad Ghazali and he embraced him. And he said, I know you, for you are the one who sent those questions regarding Nadwa. And I replied, I am Ismail. Upon that, Imam Ahmad Ghazali and Shaykh Ismail, Sayyid Ismail Sayyid Qiblan, they became the best of friends. And he remained with Allah Hazrat all the way through Allah Hazrat stayed in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Now Imam Ahmad Ghazali was taken to the Mufti-e-Shafi'iyya, the Sadiq Mufti-e-Shafi'iyya, the former Mufti-e-Shafi'iyya of Haram Sharif. Allama Sadiq Kamal, a Shaykh al-Mufti, Sadiq Kamal al-Shafi'i, alayhi rahmah. He was one of the greatest scholars alive at that time in Haram Sharif. Shaykh Ismail, the librarian, said to Imam Ahmad Rida that the Wahhabis of India, okay, they were familiar with the Wahhabis because the Wahhabis are from the Arab world. But these are from India. The Wahhabis of India have come to Makkah al-Mukarramah and they have posed a few questions and they have started discussions and arguments regarding the knowledge of the unseen for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is what people are arguing about today, the scholars. In Haram Sharif, Imam Ahmad Ghazali sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken to Mufti Shafi'iyya. And in front of Mufti Shafi'iyya, Imam Ahmad Ghazali sallallahu what Mufti Shafi'iyya said to him that I have received 5 questions regarding the knowledge of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from some scholars who are from Darul Ulum Deoband in India. One of the questions was against Allama Salamatullah Ramkuni, who wrote in one of his books regarding the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Huwa al-awwalu wal-akhiru wal-zahiru wal-batiru wa huwa bi kulli shay'in adeem. regarding the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the first, he is the last, he is the apparent, he is the hidden, he is the knower of everything. The Mufti Shafi'iyah read this question out, and Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, he asked for the insight of Imam Ahmad Raza. Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala for 2 hours continuously in eloquent Arabic delivered a speech proving that this statement is part of Iman. After he finished, the Mufti Shafi'iyah stood up, walked to a cupboard, opened the cupboard, and he took out a piece of paper. And he said that on this paper, I had begun to answer these 5 questions, and wallahi lazeem, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that your coming here today is verily a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for I would have asked the fatwa of kufr of such statement. One of the greatest scholars of Haram Sharif, and he was going to make such a grave mistake. If it wasn't for Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala to prove that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is al-awwal, al-akhir, al-zahir, al-batin, ali bi kulli shayin alim, then what would have happened to the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It was Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala who revived the belief of the Ahlul Sunnah in Haram Sharif. And what happened after that? He asked Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala to write the answer to these 5 questions. Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala wrote the answer to these 5 questions, and the book is known as Ad-Dawlatul Makkiyah bil Ma'rifatil Ghaybiyyah. Within 6 hours, Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala wrote the answer to these 5 questions. After that, after one of the scholars saw this book, one of the very old scholars, Sheikh Abul Hasan al-Mirdad alayhi rahmah, after he saw this book, he said that I do not see the discussion regarding the 5 types of knowledge that Allah has said are only for Allah. They are only for Allah. Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala said that it's not been asked in the 5 questions. He said that my desire is that you add this topic in as well. Allah has wrote for another 2 hours and made a part 2, a section 2 of the book. Altogether, he wrote for 8 hours, and he wrote a book in eloquent Arabic, such good Arabic that Sheikh Jibreel Fuad Haddad of today, he said, and I have heard this from many different people, he said that I had to read this book with my teacher not just once, not just twice, not just 3 times, but 4 times, and yet I still need to read it again. Every time I read it again and again, I learn more and more things. This is an Arab scholar commenting on the Arabic of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala. Allah Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala wrote this book, and this book was taken to the king, Ali Pasha, Sharif Ali Pasha, who was the king at that time. When he saw it, this was read in front of him. After he listened to it, he said that I want you to invite, he said to the Mufti Shafi'iyah, that I want you to send an invitation to every scholar present from all over the world today. And at that time, for Hajj, scholars from all over the world were present. Scholars from Egypt, scholars from Syria, scholars from Jordan, scholars from Turkey, scholars from all over the world were present at that time in Makkatul Mukarramah. They were all invited into the court of Sharif Ali Pasha, and in front of all the scholars, he commanded the book Ad-Dawlatul Makkiyah bil Ma'rifatil Ghaybiyyah to be read out. All the scholars listened to this book. After the Isha Salah had been performed that night, they all listened to this book, and after listening to this book, everybody was absolutely quiet. Nobody said a word in the Malfuzat of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, recorded from Allama Hujjatul Islam. It says that Sharif Ali Pasha, after the silence, he chose a scholar and he said, "Stand up and tell me what you think of this." The scholar stood up and he said that you are asking me what I think of this book. I was sitting here with the intention that as soon as I am allowed to leave here, I will face the Qibla and prostrate in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to thank him for sending a revival of Islam to us. He asked another person and he said, "Huwa mu'jizatun min mu'jizati Rasulillah." He is the person who wrote it, Sheikh Ahmad Raza He is a mu'jiza, a miracle from the miracles of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what does Allah say? Huwa ayatun min ayatillah. Ayatun min ayati rabbil alameen. He is a sign from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the same way that the moon proves that there is the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the same way as the sun proves the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala from head to toe is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he proves the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, many, many scholars came to see him. Many, many ulama kiram came to see him, but one scholar did not come to see him. The Mufti al-Hanafiya, Allama al-Mufti al-Sheikh Abdullah al-Siddiq radiallahu alayhi rahma. Sheikh Abdullah al-Siddiq, the Mufti al-Hanafiya of that time. And the Mufti al-Hanafiya had such a high status that he was known as the second person after the king. He did not come to see Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala. But once, after hearing so much regarding Imam Ahmad Raza and seeing this book of Imam Ahmad Raza, he sent one of his very close students to Sayyid Ismail alayhi rahmah's house, where Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala resided. He sent this person, he went and asked that the Mufti al-Hanafiya Abdullah al-Siddiq invites you and he wishes to see you. Will you please come with me? So before Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala accepted the invitation, the librarian, a Sheikh Sayyid Ismail alayhi rahma, shouted that I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this will not happen. He took oath by the name of Allah that Imam Ahmad Raza did not go to see him. And he said, every scholar has come to see him and he has to go to see him, why can't he come as well? Upon that, Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala said, I am very lenient. I would go myself, but because Sayyid Fahd has taken off, therefore I will not go. So he didn't go. And a question came to Al Hazrat regarding giving zakat of notes. Okay, we have notes in the Hadith and Quran, there's hukum regarding giving zakat on gold, silver, and other wealth. But this was regarding notes. We have notes today, paper. Do we give zakat on paper? Is paper known as wealth? Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala wrote an answer on that in the Arabic language, known as Ibn al-Faqih al-Fahid fi Ahkami Kirtaf al-Dara'i. This was taken to the library and it was being written again, because Allah just wrote it in rough, somebody wrote it in clean writing. After that it would be published. It was being written in clean form while Allah Hazrat was also present in the library. This person came, took the book, and he sat down and he began reading this book. It was Ibn al-Faqih al-Fahid, the book of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala. This was the Mufti al-Hanafiya. He had never seen Ala Hazrat. He didn't know what he looked like, but Ala Hazrat was present there. Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala was present, and the Mufti al-Hanafiya is present there. Mufti al-Hanafiya is reading Ala Hazrat's book. He's reading the book of Ala Hazrat, and at one place, he hit his knee really hard, and he shouted, Aina Jamal ibn Abdullah min hada al-Nafs al-Sarih? Where is Jamal ibn Abdullah, the former Hanafi Mufti, from this clear piece of evidence that has been mentioned here? He was overjoyed at reading this reference for evidence. What it said was the reference of Fathul Qadir, Fathul Qadir, the Shah of Hidayah of Imam ibn Muhammad, which said, Lo ba'a qadaratan bi alfin, Yajuzu wa la yakra. Which said that if a person sells a piece of paper for 1,000, it could be 1,000 dinars, dirhams, rupees, pounds, anything, for 1,000, that is permissible and it's not makruh. So if it's permissible to sell a piece of paper, then paper is wealth and therefore zakat will be given on it. Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala found this reference from Fathul Qadir. Whereas Jamal ibn Abdullah, the former Mufti, Hanafi Mufti, who was the teacher of the present Hanafi Mufti, he did not see this, and when he was asked a very same question, he answered that I have not seen any reference in our books of Hanafi fiqh regarding this issue. But Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala found this, because Imam Ahmad Raza was ayatum min ayati rabbil alameen, wa ma'jizatum min ma'jizati rasulillah. He was a Mu'tazila. Up to the extent that the books he read in Haram Sharif, he would go back to Bareilly Sharif, and after years and years, he would quote them books with the page number, with the exact Arabic text. He never even used to have them books. He just read them once in Haramain Sharifain, and he used to refer back to them books. That was his memory. That was the power of his memory. Imam Ahmad Raza Rabbi Al-Nawdanan, at that time, he heard the Mufti Al-Hanafiya, but Allah Azza wa Jalla didn't say anything. The Mufti Al-Hanafiya stood up with the book, and he put it on the desk, and he put his pen onto the desk, and he went to look for Fathul Qadir to find this reference. He read it, I want to see it with my own eyes. Allah Azza wa Jalla, Ahmad Raza Rabbi Al-Nawdanan, and came and put the book that he was reading next to it. He picked the pen up, and he put the pen on the side. He picked the pen up and he put the pen on the side. Reason why is because it's disrespectful to put a pen on a book of fiqh. So Mufti Hanafiya saw this. He came and he said that this is permissible. To put the pen on the book is permissible. Why will you use it? Allah Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala says, it is makruh. It is makruh. It is disliked. It is against the respect of knowledge. The Mufti al-Hanafiya replied that in Al-Bahr al-Zahir, in Kitab al-Karahiyya, it says it is permissible. Yajuz, it's permissible. Allah Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala didn't say that Al-Bahr al-Zahir to Kitab al-Karahiyya tak pahunchi hi nahi hai. Kitab al-Karahiyya tak khatam ho gayi. Kitab al-Karahiyya comes after Al-Bahr al-Zahir was written, and then a second realization, somebody else has completed the book, and in there is Kitab al-Karahiyya. So it's not part of Al-Bahr al-Zahir. But Allah Hazrat didn't say anything. But Allah Hazrat says, it does say that it is permissible only when there is an excuse, otherwise it is makruh. Now Al-Bahr al-Zahir was brought. The book was brought, it was opened, and exactly as Imam Muhammad Raza radiallahu ta'ala said, it said that it is makruh to put a pen, a qalam, on the book of fiqh. However, if there is a reason, for example, a person is reading and the wind is blowing, and because of the wind blowing, the pages are turning, then it is permissible to put a pen there to hold the page down. Upon that, Mufti Hanafiya went to Sayyid Ismail, the librarian, and said, who is this? So he replied that this is Sheikh Ahmad Rizal's book you were reading. And then he met Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, and then the Mufti Hanafiya left. Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala met many scholars, many ulama kiram came, took permission from Allah Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala in Makkatul Mukarrama. After that, Allah Hazrat went to Madinatul Munawwara. In Madinatul Munawwara, Allah Hazrat had many scholars who came to see him. Many ulama kiram came to see him. I'll just mention one incident, that when Allah Hazrat was taken to the place where he was going to stay, many ulama kiram came to stay with him. The place where Allah Hazrat's bed was placed, there was a nest on top. Okay, there was a nest of birds on top, and the birds would relieve themselves and excrete, the bird excretion would be fallen on the floor where Allah Hazrat's bed was placed. So when the ulama saw this, they said that we shall leave the nest. The Allah Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala said that no, this is Haram Sharif. In Haram Sharif it's not permissible. The ulama kiram said, how did we forget? Okay, this went out of the mind of the ulama kiram, but nothing went out of the mind of Imam Ahmad Raza. Everything was always present in the mind of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala. He said that it's okay, I will sleep here, you will sleep in the other places. At night when they went to sleep, in the morning when they woke up, they saw that the birds had moved the nest into another place. And there was bird excrete and other ulama kiram. And Sayyid Ismail alayhi rahmah, the librarian, says that even the animals of Haram Sharif know that this is a Shaykh Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala. Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala and Wallahu Azim was such a great scholar that due to his greatness, people are finding it hard to name somebody a revival of Islam today. Because when we look for a revival today, we are due a revival. When we look for a revival today, we compare him with Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala. And Allah Hazrat was not one to compare with. He was not only a mujaddid, he was mujaddid-e-azam. And the ulama ikram, when they look at the amount of work that Ala Hazrat did, when they calculate the minutes Ala Hazrat lived from birth all the way to death, that according to that, according to the calculations, ulama ikram say that he wrote one whole page every half a second. How? When he was born, first 4 years, he did not write. At the age of 13, he began to write. But even if you count all of that, it still calculates as thus. That is how much of a miracle Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala was. Not only that, the ulama ikram say that when we compare the work of Imam Ahmad Raza with all the ulama from the past, then there is no one, nobody who has ever written work as much as Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala has. The person that is closest to Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala is Imam Jalaluddin Asyuti radiallahu ta'ala, who wrote many, many, many books. But still, Ala Hazrat's work is more. Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala refuted anybody who spoke against the honor of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only that, in that day, people had the courage, disgusting courage, to not only attack the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they also attacked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma'azallah, can lie. Ma'azallah. And today, this issue has been rising again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can lie, ma'azallah. They say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most powerful. Innahu ala kulli shay'in qadeer. He is most powerful upon everything. And therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can lie. They say that if humans can lie, then when a human lies and Allah can't lie, then at that time the human becomes more powerful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ma'azallah. How can a person's mind even come to such conclusions? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most principle of our religion is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from all fault and defect. He who doesn't believe that lying is a fault and a defect is a defect and a fault himself. Lying for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is was possible, and they say aqlan jaiz hai, sharan jaiz hai. They say aqlan jaiz hai. Sharan Jaizi, Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala wrote a whole book, and the book is about half the size of this, regarding the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot lie. Lying is not good enough to be within the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Lying does not have the quality to be within the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ala Hazrat wrote subhanahu wa ta'ala and A.B.K. ibn Maqbuh, the pamphlet he wrote in reputation of the people who said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can lie. And Ala Hazrat has mentioned evidence after evidence after evidence from the Quran, Hadith, and from intellect, from philosophy, from mantiq. Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala has proven that it is impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lie, shal'an and aqlan. Because the only way to prove that it is impossible for Allah to lie shar'an is to first believe it to be impossible aqlan. Because what proves shar'an? The Quran. The Quran proves that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot lie shar'an. How can we believe the Quran? The only way we can believe the Quran is by knowing that it is the truth. And if it is possible aqlan for Allah to lie, then it is possible that the Quran is full of lies. I'm not saying it is, I'm saying it's possible. That's what they say. We are only saying it's possible, just see what they say. We are only saying it's possible, but we are also saying Allah never has, never does, and never will. That's what I'm saying. Allah never has, Allah never does, Allah never will, because we believe it's impossible, but you believe that it is possible that the Quran may have a few lies in there. To prove that Allah cannot lie shar'an, you have to believe that it is not possible aqlan. Without believing lying for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be impossible aqlan, how can we say that lying is impossible for Allah shar'an? Because what Allah says, مَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا, that who is more truthful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in speech, Then how do you know if it's the truth or a lie? If Allah can lie, then it's possible that Allah. And who are you to say that Allah never will? If Allah has the power to do something, who are you to say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never will? We say that لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah will never burden anyone with that which he cannot bear. It is possible for Allah to burden us with more, but Allah will not. We say that it is shara'an impossible for Allah to burden us with that which we cannot bear, because there is a clear verse saying that. Where is there a clear verse which says Allah will not lie? Kalika, where does it say that Allah will not lie? Where does it say in the Quran? Nowhere. Allah does not say that, and Allah does not have to say that, because it is impossible for Allah to lie. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sadiq, and for Allah every attribute is azali and abadi. And if Allah is sadiq from azal to abad, then when it is possible for Allah to lie, then it is possible that Allah may lie. And if Allah may lie, the possibility of Allah may lie means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala possibly will not be sadiq for a moment. That is impossible. If Allah is a Sadiq, if Allah is Subuh, if Allah is Qudus, then it is impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not be qayyim with them attributes at any one moment. Allah is always qayyim with them attributes. And to believe the possibility of lying is to believe the possibility of Allah to separate from these attributes. Ma'azallah. Read that book. Subhanallah Subuh. Read the book. Allah at the end in the Khatma says in that book that those people who believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is possible for them to lie, aqlan and not shar'an, then they are kafir according to the fuqaha, but according to the ulama al-kalam, the mutakallimeen, we remain quiet. Allah Hazrat did not pass the fatwa of kufr upon them. Allah Hazrat remained quiet, and he said they are dal, they are mudil, they are misguided, they are those who misguide others, they are muqtadi'een, they are those who commit bid'ah. And kufre luzumi is definitely upon them, according to the fuqaha al-kiram, but kufre iltizami, no. Okay, that is the ruling regarding these people. And today I have heard that Sheikh Faraz Rabbani from Jordan has mentioned that it is permissible for Allah to lie, aqlan, possible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he doesn't, he never will. And other scholars have mentioned this as well. I, as a follower of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, tell you that you should stay away from such people. These people, I have heard a statement from his which says that the ulama of Deoband no more sick than the ulama of Arabi. Fa'adullah, what kind of bubbles is that? Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala was such great in the Hanafi fiqh that the ulama of Deoband, never mind Ala Hazrat, the student of Ala Hazrat, wrote Bahari Shariat, 4 volumes. Bahari Shariat, a student of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, wrote this book, Bahari Shariat, and even in Darul Ulum Deoband, Bahari Shariat is there. And a Mufti, Mawlana Hadith from Boston, was saying to me that I went to see Darul Deoband, and when I went into the Darul Vista, the Mufti, I asked him that, why do you have this book for? He replied that when a question comes, we first search for it in this book. Once we find it in this book, then we look for the reference in the other Hanafi books. The students of Imam Ahmad Raza wrote Bahari Shariat. And they are muhtaj, they are dependent on Bahari Shariat in Fiqh Hanafi. And they say that they know more fiqh than Imam Ahmad Raza. Imam Ahmad Raza is al-Fatawa al-Ruwiyah. There's a statement of Allama Shaykh al-Shaykh al-Sunnat Allama Hashmat al-Khal al-Rahma, who used to follow the Deoband sect, but later became a lion of the Ahlul Sunnah, the lion of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu anhu. He says that one of the reasons why I came here and repented, one of the reasons was because I was once in a conference of the Deoband ulama, and the Deoband ulama were arguing regarding an issue of fiqh. And when they argued, one of them stood up and he said that I believe we do not need to argue on this issue, for Imam Ahmad Raza of Bareilly has already passed the fatwa on this issue. This is his fatwa, and if he has written this, then there is no bigger faqih in the whole of the subcontinent than Imam Ahmad Raza. And he was the mujaddid of that time, the 14th century, he was the mujaddid, and that is the reason why I strongly believe that our ulama in the subcontinent, the ulama of Hindustan, India and Pakistan, they have far more knowledge They have far more knowledge than the other ulama-i-kiram in the world. That's what I believe. That is my personal belief, and the reason why is because Allah Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala was the mujahid of the 14th century, and he spent most of his life in the subcontinent. He only spent a little amount of time in Haram Sharif. He only spent a little amount of time in Haram Sharif, which the knowledge that he bestowed, people with there spread throughout the world, and people remained upon the correct Ahlul Sunnah wal Jamaat because of that little amount of time that Allah has spent in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And today the ulama from the Middle East that come to us, they have their knowledge from the Fayzan of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala. And verily, they are great ulama-i-kiram. Verily, they are very, very great ulama-i-kiram. And they have many, many scholars, very great ulama-i-kiram. We have much respect for them. But those ulama-i-kiram who speak against Imam Ahmad Raza and say that he didn't know Arabic, he was very weak in fiqh, ma'azallah, these people I despise very much because they have no research of what Imam Ahmad Raza has written. And I firmly believe that the person who makes such a statement that Allah can lie aqlan, he has not read Subhan al-Subur and the Subhan al-Subur, the Risala of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala. Jazakallahu khairan. Thank you very much for listening. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to follow the rightly guided predecessors. Ameen. Wallahi alayna ajal.